You're listening to Vatican Radio.
One of the many bishops from around the world going to World Youth Day is the Bishop of Derry, Donald McEwen. Bishop McEwen serves as the director of the Youth Committee for the Irish Bishops' Conference. He spoke to Lydia O'Kane.
I wanted to ask you first off, just regarding youth ministry in Ireland and certainly in your diocese, how vibrant is youth ministry? How would you describe it?
I'm very encouraged by the signs that I see around. Obviously, youth ministry is now moving away from what it traditionally was in so many Irish dioceses of being looking after youth work, running youth clubs and that sort of thing, to a much more focused attention now on ministering to young people. And I think it's quite clear that youth ministry takes place best of all in the context of groups of young people travelling, journeying together, that believing and belonging are closely integrated, that they can grow in faith together. And I'm actually very encouraged by the numbers involved in the Pope John Paul II awards right throughout Ireland, even though it's an organisation that is based in the Diocese of Derry. It's right throughout the country and across the water in England as well. And we had the 1,200 there. I was at the Focolare Mariapolis down in Waterford and Dungarvan. So I'm actually encouraged that there are little nests of rebels out there for whom believing is actually their way of rebelling against the current orthodoxy, which in many ways tells them that life isn't worth living and it's all just about fun and has no real value. So I'm actually encouraged that there are groups of young people who really have a passion for spreading the good news about Jesus and about his church. And I'm quite encouraged that good fruits will be borne by those young movements.
Is what you were saying there, as Pope Francis has talked about going against the tide, but do you find, as well as, you know, a concrete youth ministry, that for youth it's not an easy time, in the sense if they're growing up, they're, you know, there's different challenges. I mean, most recently young people have been worried about, you've seen that worry with regard to even the Brexit, their future, where they're going, what they're doing, all these kind of things. Is that something that you listen to their concerns, or do you find that there are concerns of that nature?
I was a school teacher and a school principal for 23 years, mainly in Belfast. And I certainly know that it's a very tough world out there for young people. There were figures in the press recently saying that life is actually tougher now on young people than it is on older people in terms of financial resources. And there's also the bigger picture that came out in the Ecclesia in Europa document from Pope John Paul II in 2003, saying that the real big need for Europe is actually to be able to hope about the future, because there is so much that is damaging their prospects, damaging their sense of confidence in the future. And I was at the Together in Europe event about a fortnight ago in Munich, the gathering of movements from all around Europe, across the various churches. And we had an interesting talk on the Friday morning on the topic, does hope have a future? So I think that's the one great strength of the gospel message, one of the many great strengths of the gospel message, that we can tell people that life does have a meaning. Their lives are beautiful. They are called to do something wonderful with their lives, that their lives are precious, that there really is a value in doing things, in loving, in knowing the gospel, in being energized by Jesus. And I certainly find that the gospel message of hope, of the dignity of the human person, and of the enormous capacity that we have through God's grace to do beautiful things with our lives, that inspires a remarkable number of young people. And they're crying out to believe in hope, because politics, economics are certainly not offering that hope to our young people. So I'm quite buoyant here about the wonderful message of the gospel that we have to offer about forgiveness, mercy, healing, hope, God's dream for us. How the church will be in the future, we haven't got to be too preoccupied about that. Our job is to minister in the present and allow the Lord to build his church in his own good time, in the Lord's own good way.
Just looking at World Youth Day itself, how much interest is there, much excitement, how much interest is there in the event among young people in Ireland?
I think that there hasn't been a long tradition of large numbers going to World Youth Aid. It doesn't seem to have been terribly deeply rooted here. I think it's about 2,500 Irish going, but I think compared with other countries on mainland Europe, we're probably underrepresented. Obviously, among those who have chosen to go, there really is a great enthusiasm and a great desire to go to Krakow and to hear the message of divine mercy and to hear Blessed Are the Merciful and to be there with Pope Francis and to be involved with 3 million other people. But the World Youth Day, even when it's been in Europe, has never really grabbed the imagination of the Church in Ireland. That's probably a reflection of where the Irish Church has been over this past 20 years. But I was talking to someone involved in organising World Youth Day groups from the Dublin Archdiocese, and he's mentioned that there have been two sets of parents have come along complaining that their young person wants to go to this Catholic thing. Not complaining that they don't go to Mass, but complaining they were going to a Catholic thing and the parents would rather they didn't go. And I think perhaps there's a little nest of rebels in there for whom belief in God, belief in the gospel, actually is a sign of hope for them. It's their way of rebelling against the adults in their lives, as young people so often feel tempted to do. So I think our job is to work with those who are going and enable them, when they come home, to be messengers of that mercy of God and signs of that hope to their own contemporaries.
I mean, obviously, Pope Francis will be presiding over, he's presiding over World Youth Day in Krakow. We've seen, obviously, John Paul II, who was the founder of World Youth Day, Benedict XVI, went to various World Youth Days. But for Pope Francis, do you think young people in Ireland relate to him as a pope of young people?
I think he really, in a world of comparatively mediocre leadership at political level, he really is the one figure who stands out of consistency in his message, of integrity in what he tries to say, of speaking straight from the heart and amending what he said if people misunderstood it the first time round. I think he's one of the few radical voices out there that speaks of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of standing with the poor, of seeking solutions that just don't fit into nice political boxes. And I think in a world of mediocrity, he really is, for many idealistic young people, one of the figures who stands out. Of course, we've been blessed by great figures down through the last number of decades since I've been a priest. Pope John Paul II, Pope John Paul I, of course, as well, Pope Benedict XVI, and now Pope Francis, all of whom are figures on a world stage who have that sense of integrity and that sense of joy in the gospel that I think our younger generation is crying out to hear, and it's part of the job of the local church to absorb that and to energize our own young people to believe in better, to believe in the future, to believe in a God who believes in us, and to believe that through grace and healing and the sacraments we actually can make this a better world rather than just being so depressed. He's a pope of optimism, a pope of joy, and a pope of hope.
You've been doing various interviews with different people regarding World Youth Day and regarding, you know, the church. And one bishop happened to say that he felt it was so important that one of his biggest tasks was to really have a concrete faith with regard to the next generation. Would you see that as a very important role also for you?
Well, I think if you look at the scriptures, even in recent Sundays with the Sunday gospel that we have presented to us, we've sort of had this tripod of the three great emphases on who we are in an all-round faith. The story of the Good Samaritan, the importance of the corporal works of mercy, Martha and Mary, and the importance of learning from the Lord, learning at his feet, and then the importance of prayer as well. So I think our task is to present not just an experience of an enthusiastic pope, a pope who brings hope, but actually enable our young people to grow in their ability to pray, and to pray together. And secondly, to enable them to grow in their understanding of the content of the faith. We have the Catechism UCAT for young people. We have the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We have the Irish Catechism for adults. We have loads of material there that enables us to engage with the content of the gospel. And we have so many highly intelligent, highly qualified young people. I think half of the young people in the Republic of Ireland attend third level colleges or universities. So we have a highly educated young people, and we have to give them the content of the faith as well as an experience of the belonging of the faith and the experience of prayer, that relationship, intimate relationship with God, so that they can become, as Lumen Gentium says, a sign or sacrament of the unity of with God and of the unity of people among themselves. So I think you're right, we have to concretize our faith. But I always keep saying that the scriptures teach us that for the Jewish people, having left Egypt behind and moving through the desert, the promised land is always in front of us. It's never behind us. We were never in the promised land. We're always moving forward to the place where God is calling us to be, a different sort of church in a different sort of culture, but always having that content of the faith that is consistent, that relationship with God, and that openness to the grace of the Lord, who will lead us where God wants to lead us, that we might be his people in our good days and in our bad days, and be signs of hope, of the value of walking through the cross, of the dignity of human life from the womb to the tomb. Because we live in a culture which is so focused, for example, on external perfection. I heard figures recently that 97% of children in the womb in France who have Down syndrome are aborted. That we're really being deprived of a whole set of human beings who can really enrich the life of the world rather than being seen as a burden. So I think we have to go out there with all the message of the gospel, but believing that God is calling us to be a new church for a new generation, and avoid the temptation which the Jews had on the Exodus journey of always looking back over our shoulder and saying, if only we were there, if only we could recreate Egypt. The promised land is in front of us, and Pope Francis says, march forward with faith, with trust in God.
Just one final question. What do you think is at the heart of World Youth Day?
I think one of the great blessings of World Youth Day is that sense of being a universal church, recognizing that there are people there from everywhere, from Azerbaijan to Zimbabwe and lots of places in the middle. And for Irish people, it's an experience not just of the universal church, but of meeting people from other countries which have received the faith through Irish missionaries, and recognising the role that Irish people have played in handing on the faith right round the world in many ways. That experience of universal church is also a sense of how many other young people there are in the world who want to know Jesus, to know the mercy of God, to be channels of God's peace, who want to celebrate the presence among us of Christ in the Eucharist and in the other sacraments as well. And thirdly, it's also a time for teaching, for learning about the faith, and learning about the faith together, building relationships among people who travel together, so that not only can they learn out there during the times of catechesis, but when they come home, they can continue their journey together, where you have that sense of belonging and believing, be intimately linked. So it's the encouragement they get from belonging to a universal church, seeing how many young people believe similar things to themselves, and growing in faith together, that they might be able to be leaven to our world and bring joy where and bring hope where so much of it is lacking.
That was the Bishop of Derry, Donald McEwen, speaking to Lydia O'Kane.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.